Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown in for Steve Arterburn, and I am joined by Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Sherry Keffer. How are you guys?
Hey, we're really good.
We're really good.
It's the girls' team today.
That's right. We are ready to go at it, and I am so excited to start the day. I mean, I was saying the other day that, yay, it's Friday, but literally every day we need to be, you know, so thankful. I mean, what is the passage that says this is the day the Lord has made? So whether it's Monday or Friday, wherever, you know, we just have to be looking for the good things. And I was thinking, Alice, about something that you had written about on Facebook, and thought it would be great if you wanted to share that.
Well, I've been looking into gratitude lately, and just on a personal level, I can tend towards grumpiness. And when I am purposefully...
You seem so grumpy to me.
I don't know if I believe that.
I know. I'm trying to believe that, too.
I haven't seen the grumpiness.
Well, you got to check with my family, because they see that side of me. And if I don't practice regular gratitude, the grumpiness can really pull me down. So that's on a lighter level, it can work that way. But as I've been looking into what the Bible says and what research says about it. First, God commands us to be grateful over and over and over, because I think he knows it doesn't tend to come to us naturally in our broken state. So we have to do it on purpose, and we have to be taught to do it, and we even have to teach our children to be grateful. So not only does it help balance a bad mood, bring it into a good mood, but even if we have gone through trauma, if we are active with gratitude, it can protect us from the memories of the trauma, from the distressing thoughts and feelings coming to mind. So it's a very protective practice to get into, but it takes energy and it takes forethought and effort.
You mentioned it is a great practice. How do you practice that, Alice? Do you have like a specific step that, you know, maybe the listeners could take with their own step of gratitude?
Every morning I get up a little bit early before my family's up, and I do some journaling, and it's become a prayer where I just list out everything that happened the day before that was good, and I credit it to God, and I thank him for it. And I might think at the start, I don't know that much good happened yesterday. It was a rough day. But as I list it out, the list grows and grows and grows. And then at night, at our family meals, we'll ask the kids, what was the best part of your day? Tell me something good, something fun, something that you enjoyed that happened today. So we try to get them thinking about it. We get talking about it. And we work on even building each other up of what we are grateful for about the siblings, about the parents. It changes the mood at the table if we're whiny and I'm grumpy. Mm. It lifts us out
That's
of it.
Awesome.
You know
That's
what?
Good.
It's so interesting as I hear you, Alice. My husband and I are going through a challenging time with a circumstance that's outside of our control. And we had some friends pray over us in our group where, you know, we have a Wednesday night group that we go to. And one of the guys in the group prayed, and he said, it's like you guys are in the desert right now. And he said, but just like the children of Israel, God provided manna. And he said the picture that came to his mind was just a cup of water, that God was going to be bringing us these cups of water in the desert. And you know what's so weird is it took me out of this place last week where I am like, I am done. I am depressed. I am not happy. This is not right, fair. And I've been counting cups of water. Mm-hmm. So I texted him yesterday, and I said, hey, Rick, I got 2 cups of water today. But isn't that what you said, Alice? Mm-hmm. That's gratitude. It's focusing in on how God is providing instead of looking at what you can't control. Because what we can't control is real. And yet, my spirit was boosted as I'm now looking around going, how are you going to provide today, God?
It's so true. And we are so grateful for our listeners and our callers. We're hoping that we're going to get a bunch today, 1-800-229-3000. We're thankful that we had a great Restore workshop this past weekend and so many women found help. And if you missed this one, you can join us June 26th in Dallas. And Steve preached a great message, all kind of good things.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Sherry Keffer answering your calls today. And you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We love to help you. And, you know, New Life has so many great resources. And, you know, you don't know unless you ask. So give us a call and we'll help you. Right now we're going to go to the phones and we're going to talk to Selma, who's calling us all the way from the Virgin Islands, which is pretty amazing. And listens to WIVH. Hi, Selma. How can we help you today?
Hey, good afternoon. I'm calling because pretty much I'm 54 years now, but pretty much for most of my life, I've been quite dysfunctional and I've been sexually and physically, emotionally abused from quite a young age. And It, you know, I went into a marriage because I was pregnant with my first child, seeking love and thinking that would have fixed me. But instead, I stayed in marriage for 25 years. And instead of things getting better, it got worse. And so he eventually left. And we ended up in divorce. The children, you know, just seeking again to be accepted and loved. And I've just moved from place to place with children. And so it has had quite a negative impact on me, my family. I don't bond well with people. And so I've come to the realization that maybe I'm probably the source of the problem, because I've never really dealt with what happened to me all these years. Now I'm in a place, I've learned how to love me. I've learned how to love God. And God has miraculously restored me. The problem is, and the question for today is, my children have been they're distant themselves really from me. They don't really call. They have something, not on Mother's Day, nothing. And it really does bother me, because I'm sure they have probably seen the change. And so when I try to reach out to them, it's met with aggression, sometimes disrespect. And so now I'm not sure if should I continue trying to reach out, or to just maybe let time deal with it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm happily remarried now. And as I said, I'm in a good place in life now. When I look back, I see I've made quite a lot of mistakes as well. But I can't relive the past. I can only move on. So I just know where to go from here.
Well, it's a great question, Selma, and it's great that you've done so much work. And you just said something that is probably not correct. I think Alice and Sherry would agree. Time alone doesn't heal anything. And so so you can't just let it go. But there are some steps I think that you can take. But I'm going to let Sherry and Alice start and see what they think about this.
Okay.
So, you know, what's curious to me is your statement you made that says you can't relive the past, you can only move on. And I guess there's a part of me that can understand why your kids might be coming towards you with aggression or disrespect right now, because they've been left in the wake. They've been really hurt by what they didn't get. And they've been hurt by what you didn't do to protect them from what was happening in their home. And so it's kind of like they see you in La La Land. They look at you and they go, well, Mom's remarried, she's in La La Land, and we're over here still hurting from what happened. Like it's like a bad car accident, and you're kind of going, well, I can't really, you know, acknowledge that that, you know, did a whole lot of damage. I just need to get into a new car. So they won't heal until you're really able to look at the past and to look how they were harmed and actually own your part in that. So, it, you know, they're not listening right now, right? But just in the safety of us, what mm-hmm. would you say what happened to them that you could own?
Okay, one of the things was I spent quite a lot of time at work. I was a workaholic. And so pretty much I was always at work. And I think that was, I never really spent time with the children. They're all adults now, 30 plus.
Right. But I don't want you to excuse the fact that they're adults. So this is how it sounds to own that with them. Because it's kind of like you're wanting them to honor you on Mother's Day, but they felt the hurt and abandonment of you.
And they don't even have a relationship, right, Sherry? They don't have a relationship with you, Selma.
But no, we don't have a relationship.
And so this is what it sounds like. I am beyond words. I am gravely sorry for how I put so many things before you. I made my job more important than you. Mm-hmm. And I have hurt you deeply. I regret my priorities were wrong, and you were on your own. You were kind of a latchkey kid, expected to figure it out, and I wasn't there to help, period. Now, that's what it sounds like to take ownership.
And that is the truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so they need the truth. Not a glossed over picture of, hey, life is better now. They need to have you sit in the weeds of the harm and hurt that they experience. What are your thoughts, Alice?
Well, Selma, I think you're on the right track because you were already able to tell us I may be the source of many of the problems in my family's
right.
life. So you've got a hold of that humility, and stepping into it even more, as Sherry's describing, with your children will be the best possibility of reopening that door with them. And you'll probably need to practice in a structured situation first, because when most families try to work through this kind of conversation, we all so easily slip into, we justify why we did it, we minimize, or we point out, you were tough kids, you were rebellious, and you still don't respect me now, because the hurt is real and it's there, and your kids were imperfect too, and their father played a role in all of this. But bringing all that information into the apology that Sherry's describing, it erases the apology and it gets everybody on the defense and angry. So I would highly, highly encourage you to practice the conversation Sherry's describing, probably with a therapist before you have it with the kids. And then it might even have to go out to them in a letter. And I suspect there are even uglier truths to reveal of deeper suffering your kids experienced, either because you weren't there or maybe even at your hands of the anger that came out towards them, possibly worse. But you're the one that will do that digging with God's help, and he'll reveal to you, if you'll let him, what you need to confess to your kids.
Thank you so much. I think the letter writing is going, and I'll definitely be doing that task to try and see what I can do to salvage a relationship with my children.
One of the things, Selma, to keep in mind, we talk about this in recovery all the time, to make amends is your work. It isn't, you don't do this to get something from them. It literally is your work to do. And so one of the challenges when we are, you know, doing the apology or making the amend, we are not looking for a resolution. We are trying to make what we did correct. And it's hard to do that because you're going to be faced with resistance, because there's a lot of hurt that still is for them to work on. But as far as it is for you to live at peace with all people, you've got to do that work. So when you're writing, keep in mind what Sherry has talked about. And you can replay this, you know, so that you can write it down if you want, so that you stay in your lane, so that it doesn't get over into now you need to respect me as your mom or whatever, whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. And begin an adult-to-adult relationship with your kids, which can make all the difference in the world going forward.
I want to share one more thing, Selma. First off, we are deeply saddened by the fact that you experience sexual abuse, emotional abuse, and physical abuse. I mean, our hearts hurt. We can only imagine how young you were when you were violated and deeply wounded yourself. And it's not uncommon for those of us who've experienced that type of abuse to kind of be able to go into denial or to disconnect from hurtful things, because that's how we coped in the past. But learning how to integrate those things that have happened to you, bring them out of the dark so you're no longer running from them, but you're not afraid of them. You're not afraid to talk about it. Helps to move you from denial into reality. And so I would even encourage you to continue to do some deeper work so you don't have to run from that stuff in the past anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Thanks so much, Selma, for calling.
Thank you so much.
Do either of you have a book that you think would be good to send along to Selma? I'm thinking of Healing is a Choice, but if you guys have something better.
That would be great.
Yep, I love that book.
Okay, well, we'll just get going on that one. And then, you know, I think it's such a powerful message for families across the board. All of us have tricky situations, right? And some of it we need to take responsibility for ourselves in order to, you know, move forward. But there are going to be situations where, you know, you may not have the response you want from your family member. And then you got to navigate what that looks like moving forward. But it's worth doing. It's worthwhile. You don't want to have that resentment take hold. We are going to talk to Lynn, who's calling from Austin, Texas, and she's calling from KHTL. Thanks, Lynn, for calling. How can we help you today?
Yes, I need to have a question. How can I stay positive in a work environment where I'm intimidated, people stand over me, point fingers, embarrass me in front of other people? I've been here about 4 months at this company. My husband and I moved to this area about a year ago, and their technique, there's no SOPs. I have to ask and drag information out of people of how to do it and how to do what I need to do. But the only answer I get is intimidation, finger-pointing, standing over you, embarrassment in front of other people. And it's just frustrating. How do I stay positive in that environment? How do I cope with these people and not, you know, be defensive?
That is a great question, Lynn. Having an unhealthy work environment can be such a challenge. Alice or Sherry, what do you want to start with?
I just have one question. Is this the first time you've ever experienced something like this in a work environment?
Yes, it's pretty bad. Where I did work before in another state where I lived, it was it was kind of a challenging environment, but there's plenty of information, lots of people to help. I was there for a long time, many years. And we were always willing to work as a team and help other people. And there was lots of SOPs. So this is a new challenge for me.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you kind of a different question. What keeps you there? What in you feels resigned to stay in an environment that is hurting you?
Yeah. Well, a couple things. I'm 61, almost 62, and it took me quite a while to get a job when we moved here. Multiple interviews, you know, and I did land this job. But I guess I need to start looking so I can get a better environment to work in. But it took me months just to get this job. So that's it.
Yeah, because it's kind of like getting on a bus and having it be very unsafe and a lot of kind of mean people on the bus. And you're calling us going, how do I stay positive on this mean, bad bus? And I'm like, hey, girl, you know what? There are a lot of other buses out there. And yeah, I know it might take you some time to find one, but you know, you're not going to change your environment. You got to change your seat. You got to move into another place where you can be supported and encouraged. I don't know.
Well, we'll keep talking to you, Lynn, after the break. I just want to encourage everybody, you know, if you are in a bad bus, you might need to get off at the next stop, but don't get off the radio today. Call us.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Lynn, who is in an unhealthy work situation. And Lynn, we were talking during the break, and I said, well, there's a couple of reasons why you're staying. There's the story that's in your head that you might be too old to look for something different. And I said, you know, 60 is the new 40. So there's that. So think about that. And also, okay. It did take you a long time to find it, but that doesn't mean that you have to stay put. And I know that's easy for me to say because I'm not in that situation, but sometimes these challenges, they have the opportunity to make us stronger, but also helps us to refocus into a different direction that maybe you hadn't even considered before. But Alice, what do you have? What do you think?
Well, Lynn, you've got me thinking about the different ways Jesus handled people that were trying to mistreat him. Many times in his life, most of the time, he escaped from those people. But then there came a point where there was God's purpose in the suffering of the mistreatment of other people, and he stayed and he endured it for a greater purpose. And I don't know which kind of suffering this one is, if it's the kind to escape or if God has greater purpose for you in it. So as you decide whether to stay or whether to go, or at least in the time remaining there, you might look at whether or not you have conflict-avoiding tendencies or people-pleasing tendencies versus that ability to be assertive, to go to your superior, to go to the human resources department, and to get help and protection from the people at your job that should be doing that work. They might be there, and they might be able to step up and stand up if you speak up for yourself. And it might be that the whole environment is too toxic, and you just have to leave. But I would like you to ask God and ask your husband's opinion about that, if you can trust your husband, if he's a supportive, protective man of you, and whether or not there is some... He is. Okay. If there's some personal growth that God is trying to walk you through in this position, it's a possibility.
You know, it also reminds me of... It reminds me, Lynn, of what Sherry talked about, being in the desert looking for the cups of water. It may be that God has you in this place. I'm not saying this is it, but you'll have to pray about it, that that you're going to make that place a better place. You've mentioned that they don't have the standard operating procedures written out, and you could be one of many people who are struggling in this environment, and they're looking for Joseph to show up and make things right. Not that you have to do that, Lynn. I'm just saying. So many times when we're in difficult situations, we have to look at, okay, how can I change this? Whether I have to move or I can make some changes while I'm here. And, you know, hopefully that will help. I think, does that help, Lynn? Does that give you some insight into, into what you're thinking?
Yeah, it does. I think what it is, the person, I took her place. I'm a receptionist at this particular small company. And they said the person that worked there ate all the time, kind of was a dominant person in that place. She ruled the roost, so to say, and did exactly what she wanted to. And now I've come in there with a whole different attitude, somewhat of a people pleaser, but with kindness in my heart, willing to work, show up every day, never miss a day, you know, dedicated to the company like I was in my previous company. And these employees keep going back to the other employee that I took her place. She moved to another state, and they keep going back to her, well, she did this or she did that, or, you know, we're glad she's gone, but now that she's gone, you need to do this, you need to do that. So I think that it is a totally different turnaround from the person that did work there.
Mm.
And so, you know, I'll do my best to make it as good as I can, but she kept a lot of the information in her head and nothing was written down.
Well,
and
that'll
so
be your new
comfort zone to train me.
Well, you know, yeah. I just love what Becky said, because guess what? What if you went in tomorrow and you started writing down what you do in this job? Mm-hmm. What if you started making a list for this one job and focused in on that? Whether you stay or whether you go, you're going to be able to leave that. But that might give you purpose to create some standard operating procedures as a receptionist, right? Mm-hmm. That's an important job. Yes. You're the first person people talk to and see when they come in. That's a place of honor.
Exactly right.
Absolutely.
I think you're going to make a big difference, Lynn, in that company. Whether you stay or go, it's going to be better because you're there. And we're so glad you called. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back as you, you know, take your life back at the job that you're in. We're going to go to one more call here. We keep calling, though, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk to Karen, who's calling from Fredericksburg and listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Karen. How can we help you today?
Hi, my question is, several months back, my son sent me a very nasty text that was unprovoked, and we weren't on the greatest terms, but we weren't horrible either. But to make a long story short, he's getting ready to be married in May, and I received the wedding invitation. He had sent me a letter regarding the reasons why he sent me the nasty text, all his reasons. I responded back, and I wrote him back a letter that...
Hold on, Karen. Karen, hold on. We're gonna come back after the break and answer that question. It's heartbreaking. You know, we answer so many questions about family challenges, and we're going to help you. We have a great resource. If you make a gift to New Life in March, we'll say thank you by sending you the Come Near to God video collection. It's a digital file and features talks by Steve and Alice and Chris and me, and it'll help you draw closer to God. We'll be right back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. And yes, we are continuing to take calls for another hour or more. So you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. But right now, we are going to go back to Karen. And Karen, you were telling us that you received the invitation to your son's wedding and a letter. And we're kind of curious as to what his explanation was for that harsh text.
And what did it say in the text, too? Can you just bring us into the hard part of that?
Okay, well, it was a very political based rant, if you will. I won't get into all the details of that, but I basically tried to tone it down. I tried to say, you know, please don't go there. I've told you before, I don't want to talk about this. You know, we know we don't agree, and you know, I did say to him, I said, because he said to me, don't call me on my birthday. This was back in August, I'm sorry. He said, don't call me on my birthday. I don't want anything from you. And I said, well, I guess you don't want us to go to your wedding either. He said,
well, I really wouldn't want you there, but my fiancé does, so that's the only reason I want you there. So, I...
What was his explanation then, Karen?
He basically said, and it was kind of, it didn't really make much sense to me, but he basically said that something, I guess, triggered that. So then he went off, and I guess I was his safe person to go off on at the time. And he did admit in the letter that he sent me back that he realized that he shouldn't have said some of the things he said, but he never really apologized for it. He just explained all of his reasons why he reacted that way, but there was never really any I'm sorry or yes, I really do want you at the wedding. I've been hearing from other family members that he does want us there. Obviously he must, because he sent, I got a wedding invitation, but there wasn't any I'm sorry for disrespecting you. I'm sorry for, you know, saying the things that I said, because they were very nasty, ugly things, and it was an unprovoked text. I was just sitting there, then I get this text, and I'm like,
so let me ask,
I felt attacked. I felt attacked, but I did my best to be kind, to try and diffuse it.
First off, let me say this. One, it's so hurtful, and it's so hurtful to have such a division of beliefs, right? And that can be tense in any type of relationship. But my question to you, when, for whatever reason, he said, don't call me on my birthday, what in you prompted you to escalate that or make it worse by saying, I guess you don't want us to go to your wedding either?
Because I thought that if he didn't want me to call him or send anything for his birthday, he obviously doesn't want me at his wedding.
So, but did you, can you see how you escalated it? You did not respond to him in peace. You responded to him at war. You took it higher. And I really want you to see this, because you know this is so easy to do. Mm-hmm. We end up getting hurt when somebody pulls away from us, and our natural reaction, our flesh, wants to like hurt back. Because it's we've been impacted. And so instead of saying something like this is, wow, that makes me sad that you don't want me to call you on your birthday. I'm really sad about that.
I did express sorrow for that.
Okay, but what in you, I want you to hear this, what in you prompted to respond the way you did? Because you made it worse. Can you see that? Can you own that?
I can. But I honestly, because he had been estranged from me for a while, and I had tried to call him.
He's
got a wall build up.
I know, but you do too. You do too, my dear. You do too, and you don't see it. Because even as I'm trying to talk to you about your wall, you're saying but back to me, which just negates everything I said. I think your son feels that from you. And you're doing it to each other. You're hurting each other. You're building a bigger wall. And until you own that and see it and humble down and own what you did to escalate it, you're not going to connect with him.
I also think, well, Karen, I think it's really hard. You said that you'd felt attacked. and then your reaction was, you know, come out fighting. And we all have that tendency if we're not aware of it. And I think that's what Sherry's talking about. And I think the bigger picture is to decide, what kind of relationship do I want to have with my son? Given what I know and what we've been through, how am I going to be in this relationship? It's the difference between reactivity and responsiveness. And so, you know, I use the illustration, if you take a video of the last fight, well, video, that dates me, doesn't it? If you take a picture or video of the last argument that you were in, and you think about the person that you're arguing with and yourself, and then you cut that video in half and just look at you, that's the only thing that you have control over. And at the end of the day, you've got to say, okay, did I do my best to be at peace, to offer peace, to make it right, as much as it depends on me? And it's hard. Our heart is, you know, our heart is broken. We feel attacked. But even further down, and I want to hear from Alice, obviously, the even further is that I don't want your first connection with him to be at his wedding on his wedding day. Mm-hmm. So I don't know when that's going to happen, but I think that's where the next step will go. Alice, what are you thinking?
Well, Karen, you've got me wondering. I'm not going to open this all up right now, but you've got me wondering about what has preceded this to begin the estrangement back years ago, because that will probably need to be addressed as well in order to bring healing to these other fights or arguments that come up. Politics can be very divisive, of course, but there are deeper roots than that here. And although your part may be small, your ability, as these ladies are telling you, to find your part and own it and start making confessions to your son rather than pointing out all the bad that he's done, and he's certainly made his mistakes, and he uses his words with cruelty at times, and it hurts and it cuts you. But you need to look back either with your husband, with the father of your son, if you can trust him, or with a good friend that knows you well, to find out, where have I made mistakes, or where did I pull back, where did I lash out, that I can bring some confessions to my son as a flag of peace, to wave that flag of peace to say, I'm looking at what I've done here, and I want to start making it right.
So it sounds like this, to make it right. You know what? I need to apologize to you, son. When the text came that asked me not to participate, not to call you on your birthday, you know what happened to me? I got hurt. And when I got hurt, I hurt you back by saying, well, I guess you don't want me at your wedding either. I might even call it butthurt. I got butthurt. And because I was hurt, I took it higher, and I owe you an apology for that. Model to him what an apology looks like. That is the oil. That's the salve that goes on these wounds that can help to work towards repair.
And if Sherry is correct,
I did write
that
a letter.
Karen, if Sherry's correct that that's been a pattern for you, that perhaps you've responded that way historically, adding that to it, I've done this before. Maybe I've even done this to you many times in your life, son, where I have responded to pain with pain.
I did write him a letter telling him that I loved him and telling him that I did want to go to his wedding, and that nothing would make me happier than to hear from him.
But you know what you left out, my dear? You left out your confession. You left out your apology. You're expecting him to write letters of apology, but he didn't. And you didn't include it either. Be the mom. Do the bigger thing. Try it. See what happens. Make it a science experiment. We're totally for you.
Yes,
we want you guys to heal. We want you to have peace at the wedding. So try a confession first.
It is so, family is tricky.
It's tricky.
We are going to send Karen a copy of Forgiving What You'll Never Forget, because that's part of this too, is that as we release someone of their offense, we start to be open to our own. We'll be right back. Hold on if you're waiting to have us answer your call.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Alice Benton. And my boss, president of New Life, Larry Sonnenberg, is in the studio. Hey,
Hi,
Larry,
Becky.
How you doing?
Doing good, thank you. I want to try to be as brief as I can because I got to get more calls going here. I want to give a real brief testimony from a recent, you know, we're promoting the Finding Freedom workshop because we want to get as many people there as we can. Mm-hmm. This lady said after her attendance, "Before this weekend, I was under tight control physically, but my mind and heart were fearful and chaotic. It was like I was trying to keep my finger in the dike every minute to keep control. This weekend has been life-infusing. So much has been cleared up in my mind about who I am and who I am not." And so that's just a little bit, you know, if you're feeling just fearful and chaotic, think about this workshop. Give us a call at 800 New Life and come to that. But I also want to target in, Becky, you mentioned a thank you gift for donating this month. Okay. And it's we're calling it a Come Near to God video collection. And here's what's on it. These are videos. Steve talks about going deeper, unlocking your soul. Becky, yours on this video is, there's three of them. It's all about love. The other one is all about faith. And then it's all about hope. And then Alice shares about how and why to memorize scripture, the power of the word, and checking in with God. While Chris Williams shares Christian meditation. Any gift to New Life and you'll receive that. And if you'll make a gift to make a commitment to join Club New Life, $30 or more a month, we've got a great thank you gift. It's a life recovery Bible, 5 life recovery workbooks, a general one, and then 4 that are specific, one on grief, one on sexual integrity, one on eating disorders, and one on divorce, along with a New Life journal. $30 a month, or if you're a current member and you'll increase your giving $10 a month, we'll give you that. But I could talk all day about why we want you to do this and how important it is, but you should go take another call.
I agree with that. I agree that it's important for people to give. And I'm always, I can't say enough about how much our supporters give to so many people to have a new life. And just want to say a big thank you. But thanks, Larry, for sharing. We're going to talk to Don, who's calling from Claiborne, Texas, and he listens to KWRD. And we're glad you called. Don, how can we help you?
Afternoon. I've been listening to you guys for several months now, and my sweet wife has had an awful childhood. She was sexually abused for several years by her biological father, and her mom knew about it but did nothing about it. They did end up shipping her to live with an aunt at some point. Oh. It's really come back and surfaced over the last 5 or 6 years, and she wakes up in the middle of the night crying, screaming. She's even developed pseudo seizures, I think, coping with all of the stress and the fear from this. And we tried to talk to a pastor one time.
That's okay.
We tried to talk to a pastor one time, and she started going into detail. And they just stopped us and said, this is way more than what we're equipped to handle. And that's about the extent of any kind of counseling that she's ever had to deal with this. And I don't know how to help her.
I love your heart, Don. I love that you are there for her, but it is overwhelming when you hear of the pain that she's been going through, not to mention the fact that you're experiencing her night terrors and just how this is affecting her. The good news is that your pastor did the right thing. We're going to help you get connected with somebody that can really help. But, you know, our past can be right in our present without even choosing. And there's some really powerful work that can be done to help her. And, you know, Sherry, I always think about, you know, the brain work that you do. And I would love for you to share with Don just some steps that he might be able to take to support her in moving forward.
So first, thank you for loving her and caring about our heart. I know that every person right now that is hearing your voice, even calling her your sweet wife, is, you know, who's experienced sexual abuse, is going, I love this guy and I love his support of her. So just know we hear that. The greatest gift you could give her is to get into a really good therapist who specializes in trauma and sexual abuse. Because I know you, Alice, and I, and Becky, you yourself too, we've all been therapists, and we are not overwhelmed by the details.
That's right.
In fact, we go into the dark of the details in order to help somebody heal and to bring them out the other side. It makes me think of those kids who were stuck in that cave and the Navy SEALs had to go in and pull them out. And I often liken this when I'm sitting with sexual abuse survivors. It's kind of like they ended up in the dark and they had oxygen, but they had to go underwater and come out and be led by these Navy SEALs into the light again. We do that as therapists. We go into that dark cave and we help that person swim out from what happened to them into a new understanding of truth about who they really are. We help to clean up the lies that are shame beliefs that are attached to that, and we help to move them into truth. So you can help her by gifting her with weekly therapy and being there to support her while she's going through that.
Yes. Well, you know, I always think of Mylon and Kay talk about this, that when you have a spouse that's had extreme trauma like that, it's very powerful for the spouse to be in the therapy room because you can hear the pain. You can sit. Alice, what are you thinking?
I'm just agreeing with you, whether it's in the therapy room itself or at times in the waiting room. But because you have such a caring, loving, soft heart for your wife, she may need that support to have the strength to make it into the therapy room herself and to stick with it.
Don, is she open to going to a therapist, or how is she feeling about that?
She's expressed to me several times that if we could find somewhere to go that we could afford and, you know, and everything, she's not able to work because of the seizures. So, see how it's impacting her.
You guys can't afford not to do this.
Right.
Stay on the line with us. I want to tell you about a book. It's called The Sexual Healing Journey by Wendy Maltz, and it's a guide for survivors of sexual abuse. It's probably one of the best books out there on sexual abuse, and it's going to give you guys a lot of hope. And we'll get you hooked into somebody that can start the work with her.
That would be wonderful. Thank y'all so much.
We love your heart so much, Don. And it's just, you know, that is the true test of marriage, too, when we can walk through those really difficult things with each other and offer support. And, man, you are like caller of the day. So many times we have calls where, you know, we're struggling with the marriage and, you know, all of this. And here's, you know, a man who's standing up for his wife. And I just love that so much, Don. And we will get you connected with somebody. And, you know, I think... I want to send them something.
Like Finding Freedom Work. Finding Freedom?
That?
Yeah, that book, because it's going to give them
take
hope.
Take Your Life Back. That's what it would be. Well,
I'm sorry. Yeah, Take Your Life Back.
Like, all the things.
Take Your Life Back.
We have so many great resources, we can't even land on one. It's awesome. You know, we have the privilege of answering calls every day, and we're helping so many people. But you can also receive the help. If you call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or if you're online, hold on, and we're going to keep answering calls. Thank you so much, Sherry and Alice. Love doing radio with you guys. And God bless all of our listeners, and thank you so much. Check out newlife.com for more resources. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.